In a political town like Sacramento, anybody called a candidate might have his message or her message scrutinized to see if it covers the laundry list of preferences and priorities for the voters. That's not possible here. Not enough time. And there is just too much diversity in a UU congregation to cover all the bases. For those of you who will be making a major decision in 2 weeks, I will articulate some of my ideas for the future and highlight the momentum we've achieved so far. For those of you who are new visitors, I hope to convey some of the spirit and promise of this congregation. My vision for this congregation is that we empower ministry. Not merely my ministry, but your ministry, everyone's ministry. Long gone are the days when professionals were the only ones who did ministry. There was this idea that church members would show up to be an audience, do support work, attend meetings, and pay for the ministry. Bad model. No Lone Ranger ministry for me. We are all in this together. Having ministry as my job means that I think about this congregation a lot. I devote my time and my life to it. It means that I serve with you in leading it and cheer you on in the ministries that call to you. I strive to empower, equip, celebrate, and reflect on our personal ministries and those we share. This is a place where ministry is already happening. On the Sunday before Labor Day, several children from our Kids Freedom Club did a service with me about modern-day slavery. Many of us had thought slavery was a thing of history. What an eye-opener. By various fundraisers, the kids and their adult supporters have raised over $4,000 in donations since last summer. Every time they send $94 to the Free the Slaves organization, we celebrate bringing freedom and safety to one more human being. I want us to encourage and guide this kind of creative ministry, wherever it might spring up. Several years ago, this congregation became a hosting site for Family Promise. Our leadership team coordinates volunteers as we host homeless families, providing a safe place to sleep, an evening meal, and breakfast. We play games with the kids and hear the stories of the parents. We are together, present as human beings. Other ministries have sprouted up here. The envoys to our denomination's office at the United Nations, the monthly toxics recycling boxes, our presence at pride fairs and peace vigils and Martin Luther King Day holiday marches, cooking meals at shelters, the Saturday cleanups on the American River Parkway. Some of this may be your ministry. I don't need to list it all because, as we heard, we have the Pathways brochure. Perhaps your ministry is to be a smiling face on our team of greeters and ushers, or to make tea and coffee for Sunday morning or memorial services. Perhaps it is to give a ride, lead a group, chair an event or a committee, teach a class, raise money, or give money away. Perhaps your ministry is a subtle one now after many years of activity. Your ministry is to be here, showing kindness, giving encouragement. Or maybe your own ministry is beyond these walls, and we are your home base, your launching pad. You come to church to renew your spirit, restore your sense of purpose, sit in silence for one blessed minute in a noisy week. Guess what? By coming here, all of you enable others to have that experience of a spiritual home base. That is a ministry. What new ministries can you envision for us? I hope to hear about them. Here are a few of mine. Imagine that we are back in here, in this building, after a year of construction. It is bigger, brighter, and beautiful. And it's insulated. In the ceiling and in the walls, we have insulation. We now conserve energy. Conserve energy. Above my head is a display screen, a projection screen for gorgeous photographs to illustrate sermons or ease us into meditation. A lovely raised wood platform goes from here over to here. Over here, our grand piano. Over there, on one Sunday, a trio of percussion, guitar, and bass to accompany our singing with a bounty of jazz, gospel, and world music. Another day, a different ensemble inspires us with classical and sacred music. Our choirs include adults and youth. They shine as they sing to us because that is their ministry. Back there to my left is the new main entrance and a spacious welcome hall. Not far outside are a bicycle rack, special needs parking, and a drop-off driveway so you don't get wet in the rain when you're coming in. And let's imagine it is raining. We need rain. But in any case, now our landscape is filled with native drought-resistant plants. Entering through that new welcome hall are people of all backgrounds and stages of life. Long-timers can't wait to see what's new this week, can't wait to meet who is new this week. Recent visitors have come back for another Sunday of centering, deepening, and connecting. Through gleaming glass and wood doors, first-time visitors make uncertain steps inside, hoping that the real thing of religious community bears some relationship to what's on our website. We are families with kids. We are nature lovers deferring their Sunday hike for just a few hours. We are young people in their first job in a new town, hoping to connect and belong. And we are newly retired, now seeking ways to serve, seeking ways to put our talents to use by our free choice rather than as a job. We are empty nesters and we are elders, looking to reflect on our life story along with others, seeking to make meaning of our journey. After services, there are so many tables for activities, events, and ways to serve that you will think every Sunday is an opportunity fair. You can learn about an adult and youth backpacking trip in the summer. Register for an all-ages retreat on campus on a Saturday when kids, parents, and other adults show up to walk the labyrinth, work on the church grounds, and share a meal without speaking, an eating meditation for all ages. You can sign up for tutoring in a local school, teaching English as a second language, or lobbying the Capitol on legislation that we've been learning about. You can find out about the 5 ongoing discussion groups on weekdays, up from 2 right now. Sign up for groups doing meditation, prayer, yoga, journal writing, earth-based rituals, and Bible study for seekers and skeptics. You leave on Sunday looking forward to the week ahead. Now imagine it's Wednesday or Thursday evening. People stream in at 5:30. Driving from work or coming by bike, wheelchair, or motorcycle. We come by paratransit or walking from the bus stop or with a lift from people we have come to know in a small group. In our new kitchen, a rotating group of weekly volunteers is making a meal of soup, salad, and bread. Or perhaps we splurge and hire some culinary students to nourish us. The blessing for the meal is at 6 p.m. And we sing the blessing because there's so many people, we can't get everybody quiet enough for a spoken blessing. After supper, there is a 30-minute evening worship service in a large classroom. All ages can hear a story and a message, sing some songs, and move our bodies. Then take a few minutes to center ourselves and remember what is important to us. After worship, there is childcare, choir practice, a room set aside for homework, a new member class with a tour of the campus, and a weekly drop-in discussion about UU theology, history, and social action. Outside groups who rent a room for a meeting here on campus will wonder about all the activity in our congregation. This ministry is possible here. I've seen it in St. Paul, Minnesota, and at our church in Berkeley. It's happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, and in Walnut Creek, and elsewhere. In my vision, this congregation is a place where kids and youth have mentors and friends of all ages who listen to them, welcome their insights, and model for them ways to be authentic, generous, and hopeful. And you know, it's already happening. In our community garden, at our tree trimming party, at the all-church camp on Father's Day weekend. It happens in our kitchen, in Sunday school, on overnight youth retreats, in coming-of-age programs, and with youth bringing their music and their spoken reflections into Sunday services. These days, few places exist where people of all ages build community together. This is one of those places. You brought me here in 2008 to be the family minister. Since then, I've watched kids growing up and gotten to know many of you. I've shared the joys and sorrows and struggles of your lives. Since moving into the acting senior ministry last July, I've realized that I'm still the family minister in a way. That's because I see myself as the minister to the whole church family. This is the kind of congregational family I want to belong to. But we strive to be more than that. Our values inspire us to reach out in compassion and service. For example, in a service I led on August 18th, three Unitarian Universalists talked about visiting county jails to connect with undocumented immigrants detained by ICE. We call the service Touching Hearts Through Bulletproof Glass. More UUs have joined on those visits. And last month, Joanne Anglin, our member, invited us to pick up the name of a detainee and send a Christmas card to them at the jail. Later, one jailed immigrant told a UU visitor that he had observed a man from Vietnam, another immigrant detainee who had been held there for a long time. And that man got a Christmas card, but he doesn't know English. Maybe he doesn't know Christmas either. But he knew that someone from outside the jail had written a card to him. His first card from a U.S. American. When he opened the card, he sobbed. I am so grateful for this ministry. We call it Faithful Friends, and now there are members involved from four UU congregations in this region. My vision is that UUSS reaches out to build strength with Unitarian Universalist congregations in this region. I want us to be a flagship congregation in our UU Pacific Central District. Guess what? It's already happening. We brought the creator of the Spirit Play curriculum here from New England to train us, To cover the cost, we invited people from other churches in the district to send volunteers here for the training. We collaborated with the Livermore and Stockton congregations on a week-long journey of service projects for youth in three cities, including Sacramento. And on the evening that they stayed here, after I had dinner with them, I gave them a historical tour of our campus, and then I slipped away while our overnight volunteers slept on the hard church floor with them. We have hosted the district-wide training for teachers of Our Whole Lives, the UU Sexuality and Values curriculum. And 2 years ago, we launched a summer day camp based on UU identity. This summer will be our third in a row to hold Chalice Camp. Recently, the UU minister in Reno called me up to ask me if their youth group could collaborate with our youth group on some shared activities. I said I'd love it, and I connected their staff with Miranda, our religious education coordinator. As a larger congregation, we can extend the reach of Unitarian Universalism in this region. We could launch satellite locations in towns that are a long drive away from here and too small to support a full-service congregation with a full-time minister. Imagine, many miles away in a rented hall, a group gathers in the afternoon to watch a web stream of the morning sermon, but they sing their own songs themselves and they light their own chalice. They have their own Sunday coordinator. Also, our ministers take turns in going to that site to give an afternoon sermon. With staff support, people at the satellite location would find social action opportunities that meet the needs of their local area. People here on Sierra Boulevard, plus those gathering at the satellite site on Sundays, are members of one congregation, but in two locations, maybe three locations. Things like this have been happening at our large churches in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Rochester, New York, and San Diego. This could happen here. It is getting harder for smaller congregations to afford a full church staff. But the needs for paperwork and bookkeeping and online technology support do not shrink. By connecting with smaller congregations in this region, we can share staff resources. By sharing administrative positions, we all save money. Imagine we can join with a group of UU churches to do that, or to fund a regional social justice minister, a pastoral care chaplain, or a shared director of adult programs. Imagine. This congregation can be more engaged in issues of our big state. Imagine that our campus is a hospitality center for Unitarian Universalists coming from around California to lobby with the UU Legislative Ministry, which has just renamed itself the UU Justice Ministry of California. The Justice Ministry aims to help each congregation find and express our own social action ministry. The new executive director will be here on Sunday morning, March 9th, to speak, and I hope you can come to meet him. Imagine if the Justice Ministry were to rent a small room here at UUSS for its office and relocate from downtown. This would be later, of course, after this building is renovated and we can move our offices from over there back to this building, giving us a little more income. This would also save the Justice Ministry the cost of the rising rents in downtown Sacramento. It would make us a hub of justice ministry. UUs from around California would look forward to visiting us. I couldn't make this happen, but if you choose, we could do it together. A minister can be the link or the initiator for many programs, for all kinds of ideas. However, it is the effort and enthusiasm of our members that make it happen. Shared ministry is powerful ministry. I have a story about it. 19 years ago, as a minister in training, I was co-leading an 8-week class for adults with a lay leader. Each session focused on some aspect of our life journey. I will never forget the ministry that occurred in meeting number 3 of that course. There was a single man in his 50s. He had lost his job a year before and was living in an extra room at the home of an elderly woman from the congregation. When his turn came in the circle came up to speak, he told us that when he was a boy of 6, his father had died unexpectedly. He regretted that he had not thought to tell his dad that he loved him before his father died. "I didn't tell him," the man said, and he began to cry. I did not have a very useful answer for him, but I did respond. Before I spoke, I paused for a few moments, and the group was silent. Then I said I appreciated his honesty and his tears. I appreciated his risk to be open with us about his pain. I said it was a compliment to our group. Perhaps one reason I did not have a more helpful answer for him was that when I was 14, my own father died unexpectedly of a heart attack at home. My parents and I had a habit of a goodnight kiss and saying, "I love you," every night. But the night before my father died, I refused to do so. At 14, I was feeling distant from him. Perhaps I was mad at him that night. In any case, I felt guilty about it, and I kept quiet about it for years. In our class in that church, after I thanked the man for his honesty, I invited the next member of the class to speak. This next man was about 40, a cheerful man. He had a wife and baby at home. He looked at the man who had just spoken, and he said, "Before I tell you my story, may I share something with you?" "Yes," the other man said. The younger man said, "I'm a dad. My son is 2 years old. And even though my child hasn't said it yet that he loves me, I know. A dad knows. I can see it in his eyes when he looks at me. I know he loves me. Your dad knew you loved him." This was a moment of ministry and a moment of grace. It was a ministry to all of us, including me. It was a gesture of love that no professional minister could have created or engineered. Of course, my co-leader and I had planned that class and set the expectations for how it would run. We prepared before every session. We had invited people to attend it. But what happened was a shared ministry of each to all. This is my vision of ministry. Set the stage and make the invitation so that we can evoke your ministry to the world and point it out to you and give thanks for it. In the days to come, I ask you to think about your ministry. Last year, I was talking with one of the ministers of the Mount Diablo UU Church from Walnut Creek. That church now has the largest attendance and membership of the churches in our district. If you're keeping score, we're number 3. I asked her, "Why do you think you have grown so much in 5 years?" She told me that their building expansion and renovation had infused more energy into the congregation, giving new vision as well as more space. Good to hear. However, a few months later, I was having dinner with two members of her congregation who have been my friends for 12 years. They gave credit for the growth to their ministers. More opportunities for service to the community, more social events, more adult education and small group ministry programs, more spiritual practice, more intentional hospitality, and a culture of gratitude and generosity. I'm sure they're both right. The right mix of ministers and members generates new ways to reach out and new ideas for coming together. Shared ministry is the right mix. My vision is to keep mixing it up with you. I offer myself to you in faith and with joy. But more important than what I have to offer you is what we can offer together, offer to the world beyond these walls. What matters is what we offer to the people who will come seeking to share in what we have to offer. People who come seeking and finding this community of spirit and promise. So may it be. Blessed be. And amen.